Grace greater than all of our sin. The second verse says, sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Anybody ever been there before? Despair? Anybody ever felt that? Few people? Nobody? Sin? Despair? Are we not being honest this morning? All right. You know, the reality is, sometimes it can just hit like a ton of bricks. Sometimes you could just be going about your day and everything is going well. And then a thought pops in and sometimes life is really difficult. Sometimes life is a real challenge. And sometimes we wonder, why are we going through this? Like, why does this have to happen this way? Why? I mean, come on, God. You're supposed to be my friend. You're supposed to be my God. And you don't seem to be doing a very good job right now. You don't seem to have things under control. You don't seem to be putting out that golden path in front of me. And despair can come upon us and we can start to wonder and doubt and fear. And so as we think about this new year of 2019, and as we think about all the turmoil that's going on in our world and in our country and in our state, and this morning I want to give you a message from God's Word that you were meant for more. You were meant for more. And I want to challenge that thought process. God wants the best for you. And I mean that with my whole heart. And I don't mean just for a couple of you. I mean for every single one sitting in here, God wants the best for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God is saying, if you only knew how I thought about you, if you only knew all of the times that I shed a tear for you, that I was sorrowful of what you were going through, if you only knew what I wanted to do in your life, if you only knew the thoughts that I think towards you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know what I want to do in your life. I want to give you peace, not evil. I don't want to give you a hard time. I want to give you a future and a hope. To Joshua, as he began his leadership of the Israelite people, God said this, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is what he told Joshua. And so often we think of it in a different way. This is man's perspective. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And we say, "Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but let me tell you about this verse. This verse says that God's will is for us to struggle and to be thankful in that struggle. He doesn't really want us to succeed. He wants us to be hurting. And so that we can learn patience and all those things. Remember, we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials and tribulations." And John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so we know, Pastor, that God's plan for us on this earth is to struggle and to not do well and to be in pain and sorrow until eventually we go to heaven. And then it will be paradise. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. And I'm going to tell you why this morning. But first we need to look at why do we struggle? Why do we struggle? James 1:14-15 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." That means given the opportunity to sin, right? Your mother says, "Don't eat the cookies on the counter. They're cooling. They're for church. Don't eat them," right? And now all of a sudden we have a desire because we smell those cookies. "Oh, those are the best cookies we ever had." And then we have enticement. That's where we walk into the kitchen and we see those cookies. And now we have the opportunity to fulfill those desires. And we walk over and we look at the cookie and that little voice in our head says, "Oh, you want that cookie. That will fulfill your wildest dreams, that cookie right there. It's everything you want and more." And so we give in to that desire. And when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. So sin brings forth death. Sin's curse causes suffering. Romans chapter 8 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains and together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So we see from this passage here that sin and the curse of sin is causing everything to suffer. The creation suffers. The land suffers. Everything suffers. Even Christians who have been redeemed, who have received Christ as their Savior, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And why do we groan? Because of the curse of sin. And we have this hope. We were saved in this hope that our bodies would eventually, when we die, be redeemed. And we would get new bodies. And we are looking forward to that paradise. I, for one, cannot wait to go. I cannot wait to die and go to heaven. And that might sound very morbid, but it's what Paul said. Paul said it would be better for me to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But he says, while I'm here, while God still has me in this place, it is for your benefit. I hope you feel that same way. I hope you feel that you cannot wait to get to heaven. And as long as you have to be here in this miserable place, you might as well do something useful with your time and your energy. So we see that sin causes suffering. But yet there is another thing that causes suffering. And it's important that we are aware of it. And that is spiritual warfare. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may, what? Devour. I want to read that again. I want you to really pay attention. Be sober, be vigilant, because your, whose adversary? My adversary. Your adversary. Each one of our adversaries. And where is he? He's walking around. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have an enemy. And you better be aware of what your enemy is doing. You are in a battle. And if you don't pay attention to what your enemy is doing, anybody ever heard of Sun Tzu, The Art of War? He wrote a book called The Art of War. Chinese general. He wrote this book called The Art of War, and in there he said, if you know your enemy and you know yourself, you will never be defeated in battle. But if you don't know your enemy, but you know yourself, you will win one and you will lose one. But if you don't know your enemy and you don't know yourself, you will never win. You have an enemy in this life, the devil. And you better wake up to that fact. You better wake up to the fact that it's not that all the cards are stacked against you. It's that you woke up on the battlefield and didn't realize it. Those bombs that are going off all around you, that's evidence of war, not of God's hatred for you. Second Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, we have our sin and sin in general that causes suffering. And we can't say, oh, this suffering is caused by this sin, right? We remember the disciples saw the man who was blind and said, Jesus, you know, why was this man born blind? Was it his father's sin? Was it his sin? And Jesus said it was to bring God glory, right? So we can't judge each individual suffering and say, well, this is the cause of that. But in general, we know that in paradise, in heaven, there will be no suffering, right? He's going to wipe away every tear, and we won't even remember it. So we have sin that causes suffering, and we have spiritual warfare, the devil, who does not want us to succeed, who does not want us to have love and joy and peace and patience. And he is looking for people to destroy. And that's what sin does, right? It goes from desire to enticement to sin to death. That's right. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy. And so, Pastor, this is not so great of a wonderfully inspiring message that we kind of promised it was going to be. What exactly is your point in all of this? My point is that we need to understand who we are and what we have been called to do. As Christians, we need to understand the reality that is going on around us, that we are participating in whether we want to or not. We have to be aware of what God is doing and trying to do in our life, and what the other side is trying to do in our life, and the reality that we find ourselves in, so that we can understand how it is that God wants us to succeed. Because he promised Joshua, as he was going into battle, what did he promise him? If you follow my word and you do exactly as Moses commanded you, and you don't turn to the right or to the left, then you will have what? Great success, right? Does anybody here want great success? Thank you, Liam. Yeah, me too. I want great success. So what does that look like in this world, in this war-torn, tattered, sin-cursed world? We are called to prevail. As Christians, we are called to prevail. We are called to victory. Now that's an amazing thing. When we came in here, Randy says, Pastor, how was your week, right? Isn't that what you said? And I said, well, we might have lost a few battles, but we haven't lost the war. And that is what we are called to as Christians, to be victorious, to be warriors, to be overcomers, to be accomplishers, achievers, helpers, faithful, soldiers. We are called to work. Now, that is not a popular word anymore these days. It probably wasn't all that popular back when the scriptures were written either, knowing man and how he is. But God has called us to effort, to work, right? We have been saved by grace, but we have been called to good works. That's Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Philippians 2, 12 through 16, and it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, and do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul says to the Philippian church, get to work. You have a job to do. Rise up and be who you were called to be a light in this world, to shine forth and show people how we're supposed to live in this dark time. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. As disciples of Christ, we are called to follow Jesus Christ. We are called to do what He called us to do, what He told us to do. We are called to forgive others when they sin against us. We are called to not judge others when they make mistakes. And if we do bring up their mistakes, we're supposed to do it with the idea of giving them an opportunity to receive grace so they might know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are called to forgive. We are called to love people unconditionally. You might say, well, that doesn't sound like a war. Try to forgive somebody, and you will find out quickly how much of a battle that is. Somebody who has really hurt you. I'm not talking about, you know, cut you off in traffic. I'm talking about somebody who has really hurt you. Try and forgive them. And you will find out every day is a battle. It's a war. And sometimes it doesn't go that great. Sometimes you hit the wrong person. We got to get to work. Colossians 3:23 through 25 says, and whatever you do, no matter what you do, everything that you do, do it with all your heart and do it for the Lord, not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to do well. But your idea of what is doing well might not match up with what God's idea of doing well is. We might think of doing well as, oh, now I can go home and sit down and do nothing. I'm really doing well. Now I can be comfortable. And God says, did you know that comfort is weakness? Like, you're just going home to make yourself weak? I created you for a purpose. Get about doing that purpose which I created you to do. And you might say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, wouldn't that be like the most important thing in the world to find out? I mean, if a tractor didn't know what it was supposed to do, like, wouldn't that be the most important thing before it goes off to the junkyard to figure out what it's supposed to do and start doing it? Right? You have a purpose. Get about doing that purpose. And if you don't know what your purpose is, find out. And if you want help finding out, I would be glad to sit down and talk with you and show you from God's word what your purpose is. But let me tell you something. There is a reward, an inheritance that God has promised those who do what they've been called to do. And He's going to reward everyone according to what they have done. Let me tell you something. There is a battle going on in this country. You might not be aware of it, but I'm guessing you are. There is a battle for good and for evil. And this country is in the crossroads. And let me tell you something, we are headed in the wrong direction. And we need men and women of God who will rise up in this community and say, I know what side I'm on. I know whose I am. I know what team I'm a part of. I know what army I'm serving under, and I'm willing to get to work. I'm available for service in the Lord's army. Paul says in Romans 12, 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome. We are called to be overcomers, but not according to the world's ways. It's not eye for an eye. It's grace. It's you hurt me, and I will forgive you. And I will wear you down by my capacity to suffer. And then I will show you how great my God is. First John 5, 1 through 5 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and when we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, keeping his commandments. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you will overcome the world. And if you don't overcome the world, then you probably really don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the message. We have nowhere to go but victory. We have no other option but to win, because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing forward to that upward call? Is that the call on your life? If it's not, then you probably are distracted by your adversary, the devil, who sends a lot of distractions our way. I mean a lot of distractions. Yes, we have not yet already attained what God has planned for us. Matter of fact, we can't even imagine what God has planned for us. It's not even yet entered into our mind to be able to ask the right questions, to be able to understand the victory which God has planned for us. But this is the promise that we have. And this is what I will close with. John 8, 31 through 36. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. We could say this another way. If you do not abide in my word, you are not my disciples indeed. And what does it mean to abide in his word? Does it mean to spend an hour reading your Bible every day? No. It means do what I tell you to do. Obey my commandments. Follow the plan. Do what you're supposed to do. Be a disciple. Follow me. Abide in my word. And you are my disciples indeed. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they answered him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" If you walk out into the highways and byways of America and you talk about freedom, you'll get a lot of people who say, "We are free. We're free, man. We live in a free country." And these people said the same thing. "What in the world are you talking about? You're going to make me free." And Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever." You meet every single day people who are slaves of their sin. And you might be one of them. A slave of sin. But Jesus says, "A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." God wants you to be free. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to do well. But we have to be willing to participate. We have to be willing to get to work on ourselves. We have to be willing to get to work for others around us and hold up people's hands who are struggling and say, "It's going to be okay. I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to help you. We're going to walk through this together." We can do this. With God's help, we can do this. And that is our job as ambassadors of Christ. To plead with people. To beg people to be reconciled to God. So that they can be successful. So that they can find hope and live their life waiting patiently for our ultimate reward. Get to work. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a wonderful message of hope that you have given us in your word. You have given us the very words of life. Through the knowledge of your Son, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. For what you have called us to succeed, to obey, to do your commandments. But Lord, we must first be willing to sacrifice our desires, our will on the altar and say, "God, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to do things your way. I want to stop doing things my way. I want to do it by your power, by your strength." And then we have to be willing to walk, not turning to the right hand or turning to the left hand, but studying so that we might be approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, and then walking in that truth, knowing the truth, obeying the truth, following the truth. You have not called us to some worthless position. You have not called us to some meaningless task. You have called us, God, to the highest calling, to the greatest purpose for our life, to truly fulfill that which we were born to be. But Lord, we must get to work. Time is of the essence, and it is running out. There are rewards that are going to be given, and Lord, I want to receive them. So I pray that you would help me. I pray that you would work in me even double time so that I might be the man that you want me to be. That I might not be falling in the days of my attack when Satan comes against me, but I might be able to stand. I might be able to stand when the wiles of the devil come against me, having put on the full armor of God, having put on that faith and holding it tightly to it. Lord, I pray that we would be people of faith and that we would be people that care and love. Lord, that we might do the things that you want us to do and people would look at us and say, wow, look at those people. What a great God they serve. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.